We move into the offenders portion of our agenda. Chief O'Reilly.
Good afternoon to all members of the commission. Beautiful outside, but tomorrow's going to be 80, I was just told, so I know that we can't wait for that. I did want to preface, have a few remarks about the way these cases have come before you in the past, since 2013, really. And I think the main thing is the process started in 2013 with the law enforcement subcommittee, and it also started with all the advisory groups. All the advisory groups that you're familiar with were part of this process.
I believe that was 2012.
I think August 2013, don't shoot me, but I think August 2013 is when we unveiled the
correct.
Okay, we all right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay. See. So in 2015, we came back. We had another law enforcement subcommittee meeting. And from then on, what you hear usually is the staff recommendation. So law enforcement, fisheries management, and the commissioner have all talked this over. And really, there is no staff recommendation on these cases. What really the commission is looking at is the matrix of guidelines for sanctions, primarily, all under 28.2.232. And in most cases, there have been some variants, but mostly the cases are section 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia. What we've run into is we've had some confusion out there about why staff is doing certain things. And in fact, they're not. These are all a result of court-adjudicated violations, and they are based, when they can, on the matrix, the guidelines for sanctions. In the case where there are not exact guidelines, and you have faced that a few times, where something didn't fit about the matrix of guidelines, well, of course, the commission already has either the statute 28.2 or the regulations that fall under that statute to really provide them with the guidance they need. So I'm going to say you don't need staff in this instance. And from now on, we're going to talk about the matrix. And if the matrix doesn't fit, well, then we'll have the information that the officers have charged the violator under, either a regulation or the Code of Virginia. So I did want to let you know that, and that'll be our process from now on. And today you'll encounter a few of the situations that I just explained. So the first case today is Earl J. Gautreaux III. And
before you proceed, yes. Is Mr. Gautreaux in the room? Joey Gautreaux. Do we have any information on Mr. Gautreaux's whereabouts? Will you please yell into the hallway?
I don't think anyone on staff has heard from him, is that correct?
Let the record reflect Mr. Gautreaux is not present. Let the record reflect that Mr. Gautreaux was summoned to appear here today.
Yes.
Please proceed, Chief. Okay.
Mr. Gautreaux first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the September 2013 commission meeting, and the commission decided to revoke his licenses under 28.2.232 and 28.2.528 for 2 years, which lasted from September 24, 2013 through September 23, 2015. There were multiple convictions of harvesting over the daily limit of oysters and failure to report harvest at that time. Mr. Gautreaux appeared a second time before the commission during its July 2014 commission meeting. The commission decided to revoke his licenses and fishing privileges under Section 28.2.32 of the Code of Virginia for 2 years, starting July 22, 2014 through July 21, 2016. At that time, six convictions were issued while Mr. Gautreaux's licenses and fishing privileges were already revoked. This would have been, if he was here, his third visit to the commission. And if you look at his license information here very quickly, he transferred out of the commercial fishery in September of 2016. No 2017 license and permits. And you can also see the previous convictions up on the screen. Most, but not all, involve oysters. And before I go further,
let me ask the commission here, I'd like it on the record, do you wish to proceed with this case in Mr. Gautreaux's absence?
Yes, I would, sir.
Yes.
Is there anybody that wishes to continue this case till another time? Seeing none, we will proceed as the will of the commission. Officer, let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
Henry George Richley III.
Thank you, officer. What can you tell us about this case?
On Thursday, May 26, 2016, I'd received some information of individuals working a haul seine net on the York River near Pages Rock, and some of the individuals' licenses was revoked by the commission. At about 18:55 hours, I arrived on scene, located a dead rise vessel that was offshore. Inshore, there was two small boats. There was also three people in the water that were manipulating the nets and moving nets around in order to pocket fish. I was met with yelling and profanity by Robert West, who was the licensee for that net. I told him I needed to ID everybody that was working for him. I then asked the people that were in the water what their names were, and one of them told me that his name was David West. The other one responded, that was closest to me, responded by saying nobody. I then stayed in that area, continued to ask Robert West, who was in the water, and then he provided me five names, one of which was Joey Gautreaux. We then were able to get the individuals out of the water, positively ID'd Joey Gautreaux as one of the persons. I didn't cite him at that time. I had to do some research and found out that he was revoked at that point in time, all fishing privileges. He was stating that he had gotten his license back already. And he was convicted in York County General Circuit Court for fishing while revoked.
Are there questions from the commission? One quick question. What was Mr. Gautreaux's demeanor at the time?
He was evasive when we were speaking to him, but maintained a story that he had his license back, apparently referring to the first revocation, not the more recent one that he was still on.
To the best of your knowledge, was he under license revocation at the time he was fishing?
He was.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
And you are positive, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he was, in fact, fishing?
Yes, you can see him picking up and moving nets.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? For the record again, I'm going to ask Mr. Gautreaux if he's present or if he's represented by counsel. Not represented by counsel and not present. Chief O'Reilly. What are the matrix guidelines call for in this particular case, or suggest?
In this situation, it's beyond the matrix guidelines. It falls under Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia. And as the commission can see, all of Mr. Gautreaux's commission-issued licenses may be revoked for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2022. The commission may also prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Gautreaux's licenses during this revocation period, and the Code of Virginia also allows the commission to revoke Mr. Gautreaux's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2022. Finally, there can be a discretionary action involved concerning a civil penalty that could be levied here.
As I recall, the code 28.2-232, the civil penalty could go up to $10,000. Mr. Hall, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Mrs. Cohen.
Just to be clear, he currently does not hold any valid commercial licenses.
That is correct.
So we're dealing with a
records say that he transferred out of the commercial fishery in October of 2016. So once you transfer out, you cannot have any other licenses, period.
Chief, while you're there,
yes, sir.
For the record, haul seining is a commercial fishing activity, is it not?
It is.
There are no recreational haul seining gear licenses, are there?
None that I'm aware of, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
So,
Mr. Neal.
This is the second time this individual was, well, third time he was brought before us, but the second time he was caught under fishing under a revoked license.
Correct. Mr. Tankard.
Do we have any matrix for the civil penalty part of what we're capable of doing?
The civil penalty is so rarely invoked that there are no matrix guidelines for that. The statute leaves it to the commission's discretion. I don't think we've set a precedent in previous decisions, but I do think that we have taken into account the seriousness of the activity that was conducted while under license revocation. Mr. Hull, you can read the guidelines, or at least the recommendations per the code here that establish the parameters.
Under the code, while you're setting the amount of the civil penalty, you're supposed to consider the person's history of violating the conservation, health, and safety laws and regulations of the Commonwealth. So it would be the list on the second page there.
So he has no license. He sold that.
Apparently so.
Did he have his license when this offense occurred?
Revoked.
It was revoked.
It was revoked. Okay.
Correct. Did he have eligibility at that point? No.
So he did have the 2016 commercial registration, and then that was transferred.
Mr. Zedra.
What gives me some concern in 28.2232, in subsection C, it says, in setting the amount of the civil penalty, the commission shall consider the person's history of violating the conservation. That's easy. That's a given. But then it goes on health and safety laws and regulations of the Commonwealth. You know, if he was in condemned water, would be fit right in this as far as my interpretation would go. And in the safety laws and regulations of the Commonwealth, I think he should be punished, but I don't know if his set of facts fall within that shall language, because from what I heard, there's no safety violation there. There's no the only one we've really got is the violations is previous history, and so I don't know how we're going to jump to that civil penalty. I just have a concern about that.
Mr. Holt, can you address that?
Sure. The factor that you're supposed to consider is similar to the factor under B2 It's, or not, sorry, it's B1. Yeah. So it's, again, the same consideration, so you would consider the same offenses for both. And the only factual predicate that you have to find to impose a civil penalty is that they were fishing for, and commercially fishing, while their licenses were revoked, which I think you have enough evidence before you now to make that determination.
Mrs. Kellum, then Mr. Ballard.
I guess I have a question for counsel. When we're looking at the safety issue, are we just looking at the most recent offense, or are we considering the history, which is, it looks like shucking without an oyster shucking license?
You would consider the entire history.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Ballard.
Yeah, just to echo what Mrs. Kellum was saying, that I do view operating without a license and producing a food product that's going into the food supply chain of the state to be a safety violation, particularly shucking oysters processing food without a license.
Mr. Neal.
This was one of several, and we heard one, and we revoked his license for 5 years, and we imposed the maximum civil penalty. And in that case, he was extremely abusive to the officer. And that was, I mean, it was extreme abuse to the officer. This case, we've got him fishing under a revoked license twice. And so his actual... he's done more as far as being twice under it. I don't know that he was I heard evasive, but I didn't hear the abusiveness that we heard in the previous case. And so obviously I think we need to revoke his licenses or privileges because he doesn't have a license anymore, and the question is just the amount of the civil penalty. From the same case, we had one, we already did the max. Is it even right to bring that up? I mean, it's a precedent. We did it.
Yes.
It's okay. All right. So, I mean, we've already heard one that was the abusiveness was a factor. If you're here for that one or not.
Yeah.
Other discussion. What's the will of the commission?
So,
Mr. Erskine.
So there are two issues. I agree with Mr. Neal that, you know, we're looking at a license issue here, which he doesn't hold currently any licenses, so it's a reissuance. And that's what I believe, well, in my opinion, we wish to prevent in the future. And then there's a potential civil penalty. So it's the... I guess how extreme do we view this in itself? And I know precedent is important. Some of the ones previously that had maximum civil penalty were shucking oysters without a license from condemned or closed areas. Those were the most severe or egregious violations we probably see up here. So I'd be in favor of a five-year revocation or reissuance. And a modest civil penalty.
Mr. Packard.
I'd have a tendency to agree with that, and I think a modest would maybe would be a $2,000 civil penalty in this case. I don't know if that number sounds reasonable to the rest of the commission or not.
Mr. Fred.
My question would be, after 5 years, he can't get his previous license reissued. He'd have to buy one from someone else, right? Since he's given up that privilege?
Well, that's an interesting question. Chief?
I think what we have done in the past, and also consulting with Mr. Hull, is you're in suspended animation while you're, when you're revoked, your licenses are suspended. Once you come out of revocation.
Sorry, you transferred them out, though.
He transferred his out. Yes, thank you. So forget my general statement. The particular statement is he has the opportunity to go in the two-year delay once he gets past whatever the revocation the commission sets, and he also has an opportunity to receive a transfer. So same situation as others would have who are unlicensed. Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Commission operates on motions. Mr. Tankard.
I move to revoke Mr. Gautreaux's fishing licenses and fishing privileges for 5 years and include a $2,000 civil penalty.
Second.
So that's a motion by Mr. Tankard, second by Mr. Erskine, is to revoke Mr. Gautreaux's licenses and tidal fishing privileges for 5 years and to impose a civil penalty of $2,000.
Correct.
Discussion on the motion. I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Next case, Mr. Thomas Pruitt. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is Mr. Thomas J. Pruitt in the room? Please come forward, sir. Let me swear in Officer Weston, Mr. Pruitt. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Let the record reflect here, Mr. Thomas Pruitt's at the podium is sworn in, and then Officer West, Patrick West, is sworn in as well. Chief O'Reilly.
Yes, sir. So there are a number of new convictions for Mr. Pruitt, and they're listed up on the screen. And theft of oysters, clams, shells, a Class 1 misdemeanor, possess gear in an oyster sanctuary area, which has Regulation 650 cited, harvest oysters in oyster sanctuary, Class 3 misdemeanor, Regulation or Chapter 650 again, theft of oyster, clams, shells, Class 1 misdemeanor again. You can see from the offenses that they're all occurring in a two-day period, October 21st, 2015, or October 22nd, 2015. The last one is it being a closure of a sanctuary area, and that also cites Chapter 650 or Regulation 650. To look at the 2017 license and permits, at this time, none. In 2016, Mr. Pruitt transferred his commercial registration November 9th, 2016. Those were other licenses on the right-hand side, right-hand column that you see. And also, as far as a previous conviction, Chapter 4, VAC 237020, where over the limit of dark sponge crabs, that dates back to 2003.
Questions from the commission, from the chief? Officer West, what can you tell us about this case?
Good afternoon. This was the last boat that was involved in the Rappahannock sanctuary violation in October 2015. It's going to kind of go a little bit backwards because of what happened. First of all, there were two other officers involved on the 21st that actually made contact with Mr. Pruitt. What had happened that day is we had filmed the boats in the sanctuary, and as Officer Head and Officer Hicksonball had approached the sanctuary, they came across the vessel Laurianne, which was captained by Mr. Thomas Pruitt. Immediately as they entered the sanctuary and the boat was, a GPS location was obtained, they called Mr. Bridger to verify he was in the sanctuary, and that's how that case went on the 22nd of October 2015. The charges for the 21st of October are a little bit different because when the dredge or the hand scrape were seized from the Laurianne, the GPS unit was also seized. And I'll give you a brief summary about that. After gathering the evidence from Mr. Hicksonball, I obtained a search warrant for the data on the GPS. Once I obtained the search warrant, I contacted Mr. Matt Smith, who is in charge of Smith Marine Electronics, to execute the warrant on him. After execution of the warrant was done, I had him retrieve data from the GPS unit that was taken from the vessel of Laurianne. Mr. Smith pulled data from the GPS units, which gave me dates, times, track lines that the vessel Laurianne had traveled on October 22nd. Once I had the evidence showing that they had been in the sanctuary on the 21st from the GPS that was taken on the 22nd, we did a search warrant once we found out where the oysters were being sold, which was Kellam Seafood. We had dates that they sold those oysters, who sold them, how much they sold. Once that warrant was executed, we were able to make a case on the 21st from the data, which we charged all the crew members, including the captain, and that's how we were allowed to get the second set of charges on the 21st. They were actually in the sanctuary 2 days. Adjudication dates on the 22nd of October, which Officer Hixonball had charged Mr. Pruitt with, was a Class 3 misdemeanor with a $100 fine. He was found guilty. A Class 1 misdemeanor of theft of oysters and clams, which was a 12-month jail time, 11 months suspended with 3 years good behavior, and $500 paid to the Oyster Replenishment Fund. Unlawfully catch oysters with a dredge was also fined, and, of course, the 12 months and 11 months suspended for 3 years for good behavior and a $500 fine paid to the Oyster Replenishment Fund. The charges on the 21st, which came from the GPS unit that was seized, the felonies were dropped in a plea agreement. All felonies were null pros. And we got a conviction on a Class 1 misdemeanor theft of oysters, which was a $100 fine. And we were able to get a conviction on the harvest and the oysters in the sanctuary was also a $100 fine. And that was all that we had gotten from the 21st. Other than those charges on the 22nd and the 21st, the only history Mr. Pruitt's had was a dark sponge ticket in 2003. I never made contact with Mr. Pruitt. I was not on the boat that, you know, had made contact with him. All these charges that I had taken out were based off the GPS data, and then the other officers did the charges on the 22nd.
Are there questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Tanker.
Let me make sure I understand here. So on the 21st, did VMRC officers approach him on the 21st and let him know he was in the sanctuary?
No, sir. The charges on the 21st were based off the GPS data.
Okay. All right.
GPS was seized on October 22nd, the actual day he was called.
Okay.
Further questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Tanker.
Any excuse for that Mr. Pruitt made to make you understand why he was or found himself to be in the sanctuary?
Sir, I actually didn't make contact with Mr. Pruitt. The other two officers did.
Yes,
you mentioned. On the 22nd. I had never met Mr. Pruitt until I'd actually given him his equipment back, so okay. I don't know.
All right.
Mr. Zedron.
You said you had information from Kellam Seafood about how many oysters he had sold in those 2 days. How many?
24 bushels, three crew members, 8 bushel women.
A day?
Yeah, on the 21st and the 22nd. Well, the 22nd they actually didn't sell because they got caught in the sanctuary, so it was just the 21st. I apologize.
Further questions from the commission? Thank you, Officer West. Mr. Pruitt, it's your turn. What do you want the commission to know about all this?
Well, I'll just start off by saying I was not steering. I had my cousin Brooke steering, for starters. Secondly, they had a film running, and they brought to court. My boat was not in that film. It plainly shown the other boats circling the buoys, all around the buoys. I was not there. You can look at the track that they had on their chart that they got from my GPS. You can put those at the same time. They don't line up. So how do you pin me with that information? To my knowledge, I was not inside the buoys. The next thing I want to bring out is this chart. It shows Kellam's ground behind the sanctuary. The sanctuary lines are in the ground. Your sanctuary is in public ground, not on private ground. So that leads me to believe that this chart is not correct.
Mr. Pruitt, I have a question for you. Were you convicted in court of these offenses? I think a yes or no will suffice.
Yes.
Did you raise these arguments in court?
No, I could not, because my crew members took the plea, and my lawyer told me I was in the box, and I didn't have any choice but to take the plea also.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tackett.
Mr. Pruitt, you were the captain of the boat, correct?
I'm the owner of the boat. I can show you pictures of how we run her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the culling table working. I'd just like to say, you can look at my record and plainly see that I'm not out to break the law. Mr. Marshall, he's from the Eastern Shore, an officer.
Mm-hmm.
He can contest to that, as he's checked me numerous times on his daily duties, and he can contest to my demeanor and the way I conduct my business.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to bring to the commission's attention?
Yes, I've got a family to raise. I feel that I've been punished enough. I've spent $10,000 in this for lawyers to get another judge, another GPS, so I can continue working. I've also paid my fine. I've been to jail. Never been to jail before in my life.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Pruitt, how familiar were you with this area? Had you worked it before?
No, sir. This is the second time that I've been in the Rappahannock. First time that I've ever been in this area. I have no plans to go back there in that river ever, because it's just been a great tragedy for me and my family. If you want to hear it, I can give you a long list of things that it's cost me, not just me personally, but my children.
Mr. Erskine.
So, Mr. Pruitt, you claim you were not in the sanctuary. Is that right? So where were you supposed to be, or where did you think you were?
Right to the edge of it.
Okay, which would have been... on what, public ground or yes. private ground?
That's what I instructed Brooks to do. At that time, the oysters were getting hard to get. He said, can we go over there? You know, that hasn't been hit as much today. I said, yes. Go to the edge, but do not go inside.
Orange line. Mm-hmm. 1 second.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
I need to get you back up to the microphone.
Yeah, of course. The orange line is the 22nd, and the purple or magenta line would be the 21st. And you can see the corners of the sanctuary. The actual bunch of the blob that you see are them doing the circle. And you can see the track lines going from the sanctuary to Kellum's, and then from Kellum's back the same day. In fact, them all the way to the boat slip.
Thank you.
Turn it down and we'll send it back. Mr. Zeta.
When I'm looking at this photograph, I see something. There's a line here that says public grounds would be towards the top of the paper. Is that right? And then it looks like a bunch of circles down here in the bottom Is that in the sanctuary?
It's actually a smaller section that he's got. The sanctuary's not that big. It's very small. What you're seeing, the lines, they're outside of it. It's the magenta and the orange. He's right on the edge. And there's one wall that just looks in the middle. Yeah, it looks like from here. Yep. And then the upper river side.
Give me one second.
Got a question for Mr. Pruitt.
One second, then I'd like Mr. Pruitt the opportunity to take a look.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sanctuary's at on here and how it's here to Kellen's Grain?
Yeah, we got that.
I mean, I don't believe this chart is correct.
Okay.
As far as that goes, your BMR website, the new thing that they have, it says that it's 50 feet off. I mean, if that's the case, according to this, 50 feet, I could bump. The man that does your charting, can't think of his name.
Royce Bridger is his name.
In one of the commission meetings that we had, I went to him to get the little papers, the charts for the rivers for the openings. And I asked him, I said, can you get that on a SD card for me to put in my machine? And he said, no. And then he took it a step further and showed me a chart of just say the James River and everybody's grind on it. And he said, this line here is showing this is this man's property line. That's not exactly right there. That could be over this way a little bit, over this way a little bit. That's not right there.
There are questions? Mr. Erskine?
So if I can ask the officer, in that chart that you showed us, that map, the magenta and the orange were those dates in particular, October 21st, 22nd. The other lines indicate what? Other days?
All that information you saw on the chart was data taken from his GPS.
Correct.
And the only 2 days, of course, there was a violation was the 22nd and the 21st. The other days he was fine.
Okay. So just to be, if I can have a follow-up, just to be clear, the other days that show on that chart are areas where he was harvesting properly. Yeah. Okay.
I believe there's 4 or 5 or 6 different track lines on there.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zeter.
Did you see the sign on the pole that said sanctuary?
Yes, and we stayed outside of those.
Mrs. Cohen.
I have a question for the officer.
Yes, ma'am.
Please. I remember the video we saw. You said this was the final case.
This was the final boat, yes,
the
ma'am.
Final boat. In that video, if I remember correctly, I only remember seeing Carolina skiffs and small boats.
You are correct. The from the vantage point, Mr. Pruitt was further upriver towards the other end of the sanctuary. We were concentrated on the other three boats because of their similarity. They kind of looked alike. We had to pick out distinctive marks to identify them when the officers came in, and Mr. Pruitt just happened to be in there when they entered the sanctuary to get the other three boats. So his was a dead rise, which was, you know, obviously
right. An
easier one to see that close inshore. But I did not see his boat in the sanctuary. I didn't videotape his boat. He's correct. If that's Los Carolina skiff, you're right.
Other questions from the commission? Chief O'Reilly. The matrix guidelines in this particular case.
Yes, the commission members have the guidelines, and there are several probably different overlapping guidelines, and they're all pretty much standard for this situation. The one that you see outlined is harvesting oysters or clams from a sanctuary, 1 year revocation. Of course, you also saw the information and heard the information that Section 282527 of the Code of Virginia was also part of the charge as well, which is theft. So for the purpose of informing the commission, it's really for you to determine which of the violations you would go forward with. And again, there are probably, you could have a few with this matrix of guidelines.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
Yep. I can read, sir, I can read the what the matrix of guidelines that I just showed indicates.
Yep.
In terms of...
Please do.
Okay, thank you. The commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters from a sanctuary within a 12-month period should result at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with Section 282232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to revoke all Mr. Pruitt's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. The Code of Virginia also allows that the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Pruitt's licenses during this revocation period. And in accordance with Section 282232 of the Code of Virginia, the commission may revoke Mr. Pruitt's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. And that's from the guidelines.
Mr. Minor.
Yes, I, you know, listening to this, I think this man is genuine. I think he's telling the truth. So I would like to make a motion that we deny staff recommendation to go to 2 year probation.
That's motion by Mr. Minor for 2 year probation. Second by Mr. France. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Tackert.
You know, I do also believe that Mr. Pruitt's very earnest. And mistakes can be made. Oysters are serious. So I at the same time, I think a probationary period may be more fitting in this context than a revocation.
Mr. Erskine.
So I think it's clear from the information we saw that he was incorrectly harvesting on a couple days. Other days he was not. You were in the appropriate area. I would note that he has a fairly clean record except for the 2003 issue with the dark sponge issue. I'd be inclined to go slightly more probation, you know, maybe in favor of something like 3 years, understanding that the testimony was he's not going back to the Rappahannock and be in areas where, you know, he can obey those laws. So I'd be inclined with maybe a little bit more probation, but I agree that the revocation in this case may not be appropriate.
Mr. Zedron.
You know, Mr. Pruitt comes somewhat genuine here, but you got to ask the question, why does the people on his boat readily plead guilty? If you've got everybody on the boat saying, hey, we're not in the sanctuary, he's got proof that he's saying on the GPS he's not in the sanctuary, and yet he says he pled guilty because they pled guilty. And so if he's hiring a lawyer and you got two or three people over saying, look, we didn't know we were in a sanctuary, the GPS shows it, and, you know, besides that, BMRC, your lines ain't even right anyway, to everybody just pleading guilty to for what? You got to ask yourself why. And the other concern I've got is, you know, this is 24 bushels off of a sanctuary in 1 day that he got paid for, and then probably would have got the other 24 bushels. And something that really rings loud to me is he said, well, you know, the other areas weren't too productive. And so, but they all seem to know that the sanctuary is very productive. And so, you know,
I'm going to go along with Mr. Erskine there. I think we got to send some kind of message out there. This sanctuary is not for the watermen when the resource is not in other locations. So I think it maybe if Mr. Erskine would offer an amendment to the motion to increase the probation to 3 years, I would second that.
I believe that would take a substitute motion.
All right, a substitute.
I'd like to offer a substitute motion to have a probationary period of 3 years.
I second that.
Substitute motion is in order to for a three-year probationary period is appropriately seconded. That motion has precedence. Any further discussion on that motion?
Just a question.
Mr. Neal.
He does not have any licenses that he transferred out of the fishery like the previous one. So to get back in it, he would have to buy someone else's license?
He maintains eligibility to purchase his licenses, does he not? Chief, can you help us out there?
Yes, I will. So it shows that he, Mr. Dr. Neal, is correct that that was transferred on November 9th, 2016. So what was indicated before by Mr. Hull in these situations is that he would have to go through a two-year delay or he would have to get a transfer from another currently registered commercial fisherman.
Jump the gun, Mr. Pruitt.
It was just a question.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank
you. May I speak to Mr. Zoom?
Yeah, I'll allow it at this point. Here, it's a motion on the table for a three-year probationary period.
Okay. What I'd like to tell him is what I'm meaning by it's getting hard and you took it as I was running to the sanctuary, that's not it at all. When the oystering gets hard, the main rock is hard, you look for edges. You'll go to the edge of the rock over here that ain't been hit. All the boats has been here, so to speak. Say this is a sanctuary. You'll go around the edges of stuff. Not necessarily in the same. That's where we were after the edge, where the boats out and hit. Because the fleet's here. There's an edge right here you can hit. That's just the way you do it. Not saying you get near the sanctuary, but I'm talking about an edge.
Right.
Trying to understand you're not.
Okay, Mr. Pruitt. Got the explanation. My advice is you to just sit
just
tight.
Clarify that wasn't.
We have a motion for 3 year probation. Mr. France.
Yes. If you're under a probationary period, can you obtain a license?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Any other discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any no's? The chair votes aye as well. It's a three-year probationary period, Mr. Pruitt. I will say what I normally say, and I mean this with great sincerity. From here on in, for the next 3 years in particular, be really, really careful and attention to detail. Dot the I's, cross your T's. If you're going to skirt the edges looking for some oysters, don't skirt the edges next to a sanctuary. You don't want to drift over. Go with the chief here. He'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. You're on a three-year probationary period from here, effective today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pruitt. Mr. Robert
Minguia.
I think I might have butchered that. I'm sorry, sir. Please come forward. How do you pronounce your last name, sir?
Munguia.
Thank you very much. Let me swear you in, and Officer Cagle as well. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Thank you very much. Let the record reflect here. Mr. Munguia is present and has just been sworn in, and Officer Cagle here is here as well. Chief O'Reilly.
Yes, thank you. So Mr. Munguia has a new conviction And he does not have any previous violations, but this conviction is for possession of uncold oysters, 8 quarts. And the regulation that's cited is Chapter 4 VAC 226040 is the section. So the date of the offense was October 24th, 2016. The date of conviction was December 5th, 2016. And Marine Police Officer Ronald Cagle is the officer. If you look at 2017 licenses and permits, our records show only the commercial registration. In 2016, there were some oyster gears as well as acting as a crab agent. And as I said earlier, previous convictions, none.
Any questions from the commission? Officer Cagle.
Good afternoon. On October 24th, 2016, I was on routine patrol at Hills Marina up there, Middlesex County. Come across, I'm not going to butcher his name, Robert Munguia, and two other gentlemen on board a vessel that had pulled into Hills Marina to offload oysters. Doing routine inspection, picked a basket, verified it, culled it, and came across over 8 quarts of unculled oysters, 2 heaping cans, and some extra oysters. All 3 personnel on board the boat were issued citations for having possession of unculled oysters. On December 5th, 2016, Mr. McGee was found guilty of possession of unculled oysters, 8 quarts for that offense.
Any questions from the commission? Ms. Erskine.
Question for the officer, and what is the legal limit?
4 quarts.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mrs. Kellum.
His demeanor towards you?
He was polite as could be, considering the circumstances. he didn't give me any hassles or anything like that. He was nice.
Other questions from the commission? Sir, this is your time. What happened here? Please step forward and tell the commission.
Well, we had another guy with us on board that helps me call also. Of course, we have the captain of the boat, and it's me and another guy calling. Not blaming no one else, but, I mean, when we're taking the bushes off the truck, I guess he picked the one he wanted. I'm not knowing which one was mine. I'm not saying that I called any better than the next guy, but when you got someone on board with you that's already complaining about coming to work that morning and seems like he wants to just get out of there, I don't know. I really can't say whose it was. And I'm not saying that I did any better than his, but I guess that sometimes in those situations, whichever one he picked could have been his, could have been mine. I have no response to that.
Did you say this in court?
No, I didn't fight it in court.
Why not?
I mentioned a little bit of it, and they're like, do you plead guilty or not guilty? And I just pleaded guilty. I didn't say it, no. Sorry.
Well, somebody else is going to ask you this, but I'm going to beat them to the punch. Is this going to happen again?
No, sir, it will not.
No, you're really sure?
I mean, you got to pick who you work with, basically. And I was working underneath someone else, of course. I was in someone else's vessel, and he's basically the boss of the vessel itself. If the guy had worked with me, I really didn't like the guy, but, you know, it seems like he just wants to be in a rush and try to do his job and try to get out of there. And I've never had a problem before. I have been called with other people. I worked with another young man as my captain, and we did fine the year before. Never had really problems with him.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Chief?
Thank you. So, here's a situation where you have a possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish. 8 quarts was listed, so 6 quarts would be the 50%. It's greater than that, and the matrix does advise the commission at least that it should be a 1-year probation. And I'm going to read this for Mr. Munguia. The commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Munguia on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of the commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Munguia's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Munguia appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
I'd note that Mr. Munguia was cooperative, as well as he has a clean record of not doing this previously, so I would support the recommendation of a 12-month or one-year probation.
I second that.
It's motion by Mr. Erskine and second by Mr. Minor here for 1 year probationary period. Any discussion? Mr. Neal.
I'll vote aye for this, but this is a case where I would almost do nothing. I would do nothing, just because of basically the reasons AJ just gave. He's never been convicted of anything before, and being cooperative and polite to the officer means a lot to me. But as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, in 1 year, he'll be okay either way.
I would say I'm kind of halfway between both camps in that I would be content with a six-month probationary period in this point. Mr. Zedra.
I think this guy's genuine. He didn't come up here, slinging his gun around, and he accepted the responsibility. Of course, suggested that it might be the other guy's fault, but he says, but I was there, and I'm going to take responsibility. I like that. Very cooperative with the officer. I like that. No prior record. I like that. I looked at his abstract of conviction here, and he went in there and just pled guilty. He had no lawyer, and kind of decided that he was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. And I like that acceptance of responsibility and learning from the experience. So I would have a substitute motion for 6 months probation.
So substitute motion by Mr. Zedron. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Mr. Erskine.
So I would agree with that, but I guess the problem is I was looking at what kind of licenses he has. It's all public ground that you're on. So the season comes in October 1. So you're really not giving him any kind of probation. What, you have a crab license, so would you crab in the summer, sir?
I crab for another agent. You know,
oh, I see. So I guess I agree with you. I think this is an individual that we want out on the water doing the right thing. Maybe a 9-month probationary period would actually give 2 months of public fishery for you to go back out on the water. You could still go on the water, but you have a probationary period that would be 2 months in the oyster season, October, November, to do the right thing and prove to the commission that you can do that. So I'd be in favor of that.
Do a substitute motion.
I'll substitute the substitute with a motion for a 9-month probationary period.
I'll second that.
I'm going to take that as a friendly amendment, Mr. Zedron.
Yes, that's right.
So you were the maker of the motion. So let me explain where we're at the moment. We're looking at the commission imposing a period of 9 months probation on you. Can you do that? Any discussion on the motion, which is... Well, now, technically, the motion is by Mr. Erskine with a second by Mr. Zedron. No, it's technically a friendly amendment. So it's a motion by Mr. Zedron, duly seconded. All clear? Call the...
By Dr. Neal.
Yeah, I second the...
Second by Mr. Neal. Yeah. Didn't mean to confuse, sir. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. It's a 9-month probationary period, sir. If you go with the officer, he'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights if you wish to appeal the decision of 9 months probation. You heard me say it a few minutes ago, but you know what? I think you're a good-hearted guy. I think that you made a mistake here. I think that you're going to be very careful in the future. You're going to dot the I's. You're going to cross the T's. we're not going to see you back here? Because honestly, say, I think I can speak on all of the rehabs. Well, we don't want to see you back here like this, okay? Okay. Thank you, sir. Next case is Mr. John C. Wandrick. Mr. Wandrick, W-A-N-D-R-I-C-K. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name for the record. Chief O'Reilly.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Wandrick has a new conviction to have in possession uncold oysters, 8 quarts. The references to Chapter 4 BAC 2260, Section 40. The date of offense, October 24th, 2016. Date of conviction, December 5, 2016. The Marine police officer is Ronald Cagle. 2017 licenses and permits, none so far that are recorded. I gather that since the commission has allowed April 30th to be the cutoff time to purchase your 2017 commercial fisherman registration license, that's probably why none are listed yet. 2016 license and permits are all surrounding oyster, except he does have a crab pot license up to 170. Previous convictions, none.
Officer Cagle.
Good afternoon. On October 24th, 2016, this is regarding the same incident that we just previously heard. I was down at Hills Marina again. The vessel pulled in, conducted a routine check. 3 people on board. This was number 2 of 3. Polite and cooperative. He had 8 quarts because he was in possession of those as well. Actually, over 8 quarts of small shells and oysters. He was found guilty in Middlesex court, fined $75 and $86 court costs. He was very polite and cooperative.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Roderick.
Yes, sir.
What do you want the commission to know?
Well, I was captain of the boat, and I learned a lesson to pay better attention to the guy who owns the product. You know, my hands never touched the oysters, really. I'm steering, driving the boat. They're doing the work.
Captain is responsible.
And I learned a lesson. Pay attention to what they're doing.
Questions from the commission? Chief O'Reilly, what do the matrix guidelines call for at this point?
Thank you, Commissioner. So in this situation, the matrix indicates that possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish should result in a one-year probation. You just heard Officer Cagle say that it was really over 8 quarts, so that definitely is over 100%.
Questions from the commission? The commission operates on motions. Matters before the commission.
Shall I read the information from the matrix that goes with this situation?
Yes, you should.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 100% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Wandrick on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Wandrick's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Wandrick appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
I move for a 9-month probationary period.
Second it.
Motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Minor here for a period of probation of 9 months. Discussion on the motion.
Skipping all the seconds and...
Well, second by Mr. Minor, unless we hear a substitute motion. Mr. Zedrin?
I agree with that. I think we should have some consistency. I mean, he's an honest guy. I looked at his abstract. He came to court with our lawyer, pled guilty, and, of course, he was found guilty. He's honest with us today. He accepts the concept as captain of the ship, is responsible for the ship, and that's really good. And so I concur in the motion and the second.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. It's a period of 9-month probation, Captain. Let's dot the I's, cross the T's. We don't want to see you back here again like this.
No.
Thank you, sir. If you go with the chief, you'll get a letter showing your appeal rights. Is Mr. Timothy R. Belvin, Sr. in the room? Please come forward, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Let the record reflect, Mr. Belvin is here, and Officer Dameron as well is here as well.
Yeah. Mr. Belvin, Sr. has a new conviction, possession of uncold oysters, 6 quarts, cited under Section 28.2.510 of the Code of Virginia. The date of the offense was December 1st, 2016. The date of conviction, December 19th, 2016. Marine Police Officers Clayton Dameron. If you look at the 2017 license permits, the commercial registration, and oyster gear licenses, as well as the user fee. If you look at 2016, there's some other permits, and the icing permit at the bottom is another one, the gillnet permit. Oyster by hand tongs, so mainly oyster, but some other permits as well. Look at previous convictions. They date most recently to 2013 with oyster violations. Again in 2011, late 2011 oyster violations, and you can pretty much read down to the last one listed was oysters in container upon arrival to dock. Back in 2004. So 2004, 7, 10, 11, and 13.
Any questions from the commission? Officer, please step forward. What can you tell us about this case?
On December 1st, 2016, I was patrolling the Great Wacomico River, public oyster area. Approximately 10 a.m., I stopped the vessel that belongs to Mr. Timothy Belvin. Mr. Belvin had approximately 3 bushels of oysters on board. I took 1 bushel of oysters and culled. After culling the 1 bushel of oysters, Mr. Belvin was in possession of 6 quarts of uncold oysters. I issued him 1 summons. The court date was December 19, 2016. And prior to the court date, Mr. Belvin had prepaid the summons. The fine was $110, and the cost of court was $86.
Any questions of the officer? Thank you, sir. Mr. Belvin.
Yes, sir.
What do you want the commission to know? What happened
well,
here?
I was right. He got me at a 1 bushel. I had 3 bushel of oysters on the boat, me and another man. I mean, the other man didn't have no permit, but he'd been working in the water for 25 years before he retired, owed it. And I didn't notice at this time that over Reedsville that they had dumped thousands and thousands of gallons of stink water into the river. They got fined for that. And I think the officer right here, I don't think he got over at least three little oysters out the whole tub. Most of them were cluckers. I mean, they were dead and shells stuck together with mud. Am I right?
I was saying it was a few small oysters, but the majority was. We call boxes, where you just take your hand open, the oysters up. I'll say maybe 60 to 40%. 40% small.
I mean, so, I noticed when I made the first couple of licks, the oysters and the shells looked slimy looking. It didn't even look like a Wicomico River. I've been working Wicomico River every year it opens up. I knew something was wrong then, but I didn't find out till later when I got the ticket and went back into where I tied my boat up at Ingalls Bay, Billy Pickens. And he told me what happened over there at Reedsville. But he dumped the sour water out of the boats right into the creek. It was supposed to go off 5 miles offshore to do that. I said, well, that's what happened to the river. About 70% of them officers are dead right now.
So are you saying that there wasn't a culling violation because the oysters were dead and they weren't oysters?
Yeah, it was tucked together with mud. You couldn't even tell it. You would tap on them, tap on them, tap on them. Matter of fact, he threw a couple in, and then after you threw them in, they opened up. You grabbed them up, put them in the can. I said, well, you don't even know what it is neither. It was hard to tell.
Because when I took my coal stick, I could tap on it a little bit. You could hear it hollow inside. So.
I done the best I could from sunrise to 10:30, three bushel officers, two people. I wasn't trying to get away with nothing.
Other questions from the commission?
I got a question for the officer.
Mr. Zedra.
How about explaining some of these terms to me that y'all using here about different boxes and things like that?
Right, well, basically, I would say 60% of his, out of the six quarts, 60% were just shells. So then the other 40% were actually small oysters under 3 inches.
So is it a violation to have an empty shell?
To have the shell. The shells go in the can with the small oysters.
It was stuck together with mud. I couldn't tell it was shells.
Well, I'm still not clear.
It's like a Coke can with no Coke in it.
Right. And so the question is there a violation to have a shell that's below the amount size required, if it's got nothing in it?
Just the empty shell goes in the can with the small oysters. So.
Well, I hear you say that, but the question I'm asking is, if you have a shell that's smaller than what an oyster would be allowed, is that a violation of the law?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The shells are valuable on the water bottom. Sounds to me like, Mr. Belvin, tell me if you think I got this wrong, is you didn't take much care in the culling process. You didn't bother washing them off. You didn't check to see whether they were alive or dead.
You couldn't tell it, sir. You couldn't tell it. I mean, he had to, at times, take his end of the culling stick and open it up. It started open. And then seen it was mud in it. You couldn't tell it. I've been doing this since I was 12 years old, and it fooled me.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Chief, what are the matrix guidelines called for in this particular case?
This is a situation where it doesn't specifically speak to this issue, but the gentleman, Mr. Belvin, was cited under 28.2.510 of the Code of Virginia, and Mr. Belvin Sr. possessed 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period, and the commission considered at least a one-year probation for his violation of Section 28.2.510 of the Code of Virginia. In accordance with 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest the commission to place Mr. Belvin on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Belvin's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Belvin appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Questions from the commission?
I got a question for Mr. Belvin here.
Mr. Zedra.
This in January 29, 2013, it says you got convicted of 18 bushels of oysters over the limit.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me about that?
I was in Sackett's Island, first time I've been over there in my life, and you could pull a full-foot drudge. And I see a full-foot drudge, you must be able to catch what you want to catch instead of a 22-inch one. And I didn't really know what the legals were. That was my fault. I didn't find out before I even started catching them.
Did you put those oysters in bushels, or were they just on your deck?
They were on the deck.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tanker.
Mr. Belvin, you said that you were fooled. I don't understand exactly what you mean by that. The oysters fooled you. Were the size?
You mean the oysters?
Yes.
No, they're stuck together with mud. And you couldn't tell it.
Right.
I mean, you could tap them on the board like this here, and it stayed together, and you throw them in the hole, and you land in the basket, some of them would open. I picked the ones open that I seen, and some of them wouldn't.
Follow-up question, though. So, but wouldn't the culling process be the same for the ones that didn't have anything in them and did have something in them?
Yeah, same way. Identical.
Okay.
Yeah. What I was really worried about is the Wicomico River. That's dying. That's dying bad, what they've done to it. That ain't going to come back. And it's a nice river to work. You can get it to weather there.
Yeah.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action, and Mr. Ballard is up.
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Miner for a one-year probationary period effective today. Is there a discussion on the motion?
Just a little one.
Mr. Neal.
I don't think we're supposed to say staff recommendation. Matrix recommendation.
Matrix
guidelines.
Matrix guidelines.
Okay. That's it. Because Rob told me the staff's not making recommendations. I listened.
Okay. Any further discussion?
No, sir.
Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. It's a period of probation of 1 year from today. Dot the I's, cross the T's. We don't want to see it back here, Mr. Belvin. Thank you, sir. If you go with the officer, it will give you a letter that it spells out your appeal rights. Mr. Matthew Simpson. Mr. Simpson, please raise your right hand. Officer, you as well. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Record reflect that Officer Callamore is here and Mr. Matthew Simpson as well, just been sworn in chief.
Mr. Matthew Simpson has a new conviction, possession of uncalled oysters, 6 quarts, and again the limit is 4, and under the chapter 4 VAC 2260 section 40, the date of offense was December 1st, 2016, the date of conviction December 5, 2016, the Marine police officer John Collimore. More information is that Mr. Simpson's first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the February 2015 commission meeting. At that time, the commission voted to place Mr. Simpson on probation under Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia for 1 year, February 24, 2015 through February 23, 2016. And at the time, there were 3 natural resource convictions. Mr. Simpson was not on probation when this new conviction took place. If you look at the 2017 license and permits, commercial registration, there is a striped bass bay permit and oyster gear permits. 2016, similar licenses did transfer out his crab pot license in 2016. In terms of previous convictions, they all seem to date to 2014, what you can see up there, related to oysters on all 3 items.
Any questions? Officer, can you tell us about this?
Good afternoon. On October 24, 2016, patrolled Hill Marine in Blacklace Creek, adjacent to Rappahannock River, encountered Mr. Simpson to my left, coming ashore out of Area 4. 2 additional individuals were on board the vessel, randomly chose a bushel that they had offloaded on the back of the pickup truck, began to cull. During this culling process, Mr. Simpson interrupted me several times, stated that I didn't know how to cull the oysters, and I was culling the oysters too close to tolerance. I asked him what I meant, or what he meant by that. He stated that the oysters were almost 3 inches. On the completion of the cull, found 6 quarts of oysters. Uniform summons were issued to all 3 individuals.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Officer, in our summary here, it says 8 quarts. Was it 8 or 6 quarts?
6 quarts.
6 quarts, okay. Yes, and as a follow-up, Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Erskine.
Officer, what were you using to determine the size of the oysters, the legal limit?
Issued cull stick.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
I'm looking at this literature here, and there's a lot of aggressive language. Is that the case?
Yes, sir. While I was in my vehicle writing the summonses, Mr. Simpson was across the driveway area by a dumpster. He was punching the dumpster. I had my window cracked open. At that point, I could hear him state that he wanted to kick my ass. While I was issuing the summonses, he stated, "I'd like to punch you in the face." During the court proceedings in Middlesex County, the judge actually had to stop proceedings twice and ask Mr. Simpson to collect himself so that we can continue. For clarification, I have a photograph of the violation to alleviate the 8-6 court, if you'd like to see.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Simpson, please step forward. Yes, what do you want the commission to know?
Okay. I mean, this sounds a whole lot worse than it really was. Now, this is my 9th day in this river. It's the 3rd time I got boarded in 9 days out of 200 boats. His partner boarded me 3 days before this, then he boarded me. I had no issues, polite with everybody, passed every test without flying colors. When this officer called me, you don't call into 3 different piles. He dumped my oysters into the metal can, threw the big ones in the basket, little stuff and shell into the can, and then had another pile over here of right at 3 inches. I never said almost, they were right at. Well, after he didn't fill his can up, he commenced to go through them again until he filled his can up. I thought that was so unfair. I didn't call my oysters twice to make sure I could take it. But either way, that was the 3rd time. I might have got a little upset. I didn't punch the dumpster. He was saying, like I said, across the driveway, looking that way, right in the ticket. I went to go lean against it, and you know how the metal doors on them are empty. They make a hell of a noise, and I wasn't hitting the dumpster. And, I mean, we might have had some chatter between us. I never told Mr. to his face that I wanted to hit him. And, I mean, you know, everybody's a little upset, somebody might say so, but it wasn't to his face, and there was no aggression meant to the fellow. In court, the reason I sat down, it sounds bad, but I accidentally interrupted the judge. I'm sorry. I mean, it was an accident. He was mentioned to telling the judge, and he told her I got like 3 or 4 tickets all in this right now. And I tried to tell her they were 3 years old, and I'm sorry. I spoke up. She made me sit down. It happened again. I tried to say the same thing. Then she explained to me that she would let me speak if I just let her do all that. I'm sorry I get excited. I'm nervous.
Judges are like that.
But she was nice. I apologized to her. I don't mean to disrespect the officer, but it just felt like I was really being targeted out. All them boats, and the way he called me that day, I felt like there was no getting out of a ticket. I was going to get one. He was going to make sure of it. I've worked 3 seasons every day and had an incident in 3 past seasons other than this. I keep my nose clean. I was here yesterday. I just got a crab license. I got 4 kids. One's in college. He just started. I don't have anybody else. I'm single. I mean, I do this. I don't try to do no problems, but every one of my problems just came from this group of officers. They're hard on me. They don't like me. Something, but it just feels that way. I didn't mean no intent to the officer. I'm a good guy. I go by the rules. I mean, I do what I'm supposed to. I work hard. I've earned everything I got. I ain't come from nothing, and I got what I got from working for it. I ain't trying to do it the wrong way. And I'm sorry if you thought I'd be aggressive. It was just, I felt like I was really being targeted 3rd time in 9 days. That was a little much for me. I hadn't caused any problem for life. The other officers, we were joking when they called me the 1st week. Then the 2nd week, we joked. The 3rd time, got a little carried away. But I don't mean no harm. It's all I got. I had no other income. I got to work. I don't know nothing else.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Simpson, did you explain what you explained to us to the court?
No, sir, because we weren't the best friends, and everybody went there to play guilty. I just wanted to go. I played guilty and just wanted to go. I just wanted it to go away so I could go back to work. And when I played guilty, that's when it was started talking about all the tickets and stuff. And I thought it was just guilty. And you finally go. I don't know. It just made me look really bad. I'm not a bad person. I'm really not. All my reports. I do all my paperwork. I do all my... I do everything I'm supposed to do. I spent my life savings on a crab license yesterday, which it would be appreciative if maybe the paperwork would go through if everything works out today.
Mr. Erskine?
I just had a follow-up. What were you using to cull the oysters?
I've got 6 instruments in my boat, sir. On my call table, I have a square table. Each one has a notch cut in it that's 3 inches.
It never gets no smaller because it's made out of wood. It's only going to get bigger. We use that. And then each person also has a hammer. Everybody's got two instruments to call with. Their hammer's got the little measure. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the oyster, 3 inches or 3 inches. It ain't got to be bigger than that. When it hit the thing, why do you call them twice? It was like I was going to get a ticket one way or the other.
Mr. Tackett.
Mr. Simpson, what's your take on your one-year probation? You'd like to see that reduced, or is that something you're okay with?
I'll go to work. I don't plan on.
You'll continue to work with a probation.
I did it before, sir. Yeah, I work on the water 365 days a year. Is all I know.
Yes, but my question to you is a one-year probation something you think that is fair at this point?
I don't want no worse than that, but my opinion personally, no. I felt like I got that ticket on purpose, but if that's what y'all feel, I'm okay with it. I just need to work.
Yes, sir.
I felt like it was a little on purpose. I mean, there was 200 boats there or more that first rock opened. Pretty good circumstance. I get plugged 3 times in 9 days. I mean, that's pretty out there.
Other questions from the commission?
We'll have one more question. Just
Mr. Tackett.
You have some boat that makes people want to stop it?
I'm fast.
Fast.
I really am. I'm fast. I make the guys that work for me work really, really hard, and I'm fast. And because I might be faster than the older fellows, I look like I'm doing something wrong because I leave before they do. Uh-huh. But I've been checked many a time, and I don't do wrong.
Okay.
That ticket had to be looked for. They weren't given to him. He had to really work to get that one.
Mr. Simpson, let me say something here.
I'm sorry. I'm a little excited. I get nervous.
Okay. Let's calm down for just a second here. You work hard.
Yes, sir.
The officers work hard.
I understand. I understand.
They're doing a job.
I understand.
They're
that.
Doing a job that's required.
I understand.
They don't deserve any abuse from anybody.
I understand. I didn't do nothing to the fellow. I was talking amongst my friends to the side. I was nowhere near this guy.
They respect watermen, and we respect watermen here, and we do respect watermen, expect watermen to respect the officers who are doing their jobs. So I'm just saying that kind of as a word of warning, let's not get into these type of situations again here where there's a violation and there's any sort of lashing out at officers.
Yes, sir.
They're not out to get you. They're just doing a job.
Honestly.
Chief O'Reilly, what do the matrix guidelines call for in this particular case?
So the regulation 4VAC 2260 section 40 is what this violation was cited under. And Mr. Matthew Simpson possessed 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period, and the commission can consider at least a one-year probation for his violation of Chapter 4VAC 2260.10 and sequence. In accordance with Section 282 of the Code of Virginia, matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Simpson on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28th, 2017, through February 27th, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Simpson's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. Simpson appearing before the Commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Yep, Mr. Simpson.
On that day also, I only had 18 bushel, and I worked the entire day time to chill out, and I'm a five-hour drive from my house. I didn't care about the time. I was only worried about doing it right. I really weren't trying to get that. I weren't trying to have small stuff. I really weren't.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
I'd make a motion for a one-year probation.
Motion by Mr. Erskine. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by Mrs. Kellum was louder.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Meyer. Second by Mrs. Kellum for a one-year probationary period. Is there a discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Neal.
Like I said earlier, politeness to our officers means a lot to me, and being abusive to our officers means a lot to me, too. And so in this case, he has been before us before. We put him on probation. He got off probation, and then he got another ticket, and and he was abusive to an officer, that I don't think 1 year probation is enough. I think this guy should be on a longer probation period so we can keep track of him better. That's my opinion.
Further discussion on the motion? Mr. Tankard.
Given the testimony I've heard today, I agree that you've got two hardworking people, it sounds like to me, an officer and a warden, and they can conflict in their views of how they see the same thing. I think 1 year probation is probably about right.
Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes 8-1. Mr. Simpson, it's a year of probation, effective today. Let's dot the I's and cross the T's.
By any chance, you see that paperwork, you push the curl, you want to see this sort of tomorrow.
Staff has that, but at the moment, they're kind of tied up here. Mr. Simpson, good luck to you. We don't want to see you back. Mr. Simpson. Mr. Simpson, we really don't want to see you back.
No.
Let's not come back. Mr. Glenn S. Moore. It's Mr. Moore in the room. Mr. Moore, please raise your right hand. Officer, you've already been sworn in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Okay, please state your name. All right, please let the record reflect Mr. Moore is present and sworn in here. Chief O'Reilly.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Glenn S. Moore has a new conviction, a color intolerance, and the standards are 4 quarts, and he had more than the 4 quarts. This is cited under Chapter 4 VAC 2260, Section 40, date of offense, October 18, 2016, date of conviction, December 5, 2016. Marine Police Officer Henry Reichel is here for that. If you look at the licenses and permit history, you find that there is an individual saltwater sport fishing license. It expired in August of 2013. There's also a resident individual sport fishing license that expired in 2015, another that expired in July of 2016. Previous convictions, none.
Officer Richley, what can you tell us about this?
On Tuesday, October 18th, 2016, I conducted an inspection on a fishing vessel, White Pearl. Vessel was engaged in oyster harvest in Rappahannock River Area 4 public ground. The captain is Mr. Buddy Forrest, along with the first mate, Clark Daniel. And then Glenn Moore is a crew member on board the boat, not a licensed commercial waterman. He told me that he was a new person on the boat. This was one of the first times that he had been calling oysters, and it was only approximately 18 days into the season. At the conclusion of doing an inspection of one bushel, one basket of oysters, and did the inspection on, I did locate 8 quarts of small oysters and shells, and I cited all the subjects on the vessel for that violation. They were all very polite and very cooperative with me, and they pled guilty in Middlesex Court. And Mr. Moore received a $75 fine for that. And I do have a photo of the two quart cans that I put the oysters in if you'd like to see
it. All right, hold that for the time being, unless somebody wants to see it. Are there questions from the commission? Thank you, officer. Mr. Moore. Okay. You kind of hear the drill here over the last hour and a half here. Yeah. What do you want the commission to know about this?
Well, like I told the officer when he come on the boat, I kept telling him I was a rookie, and he kept saying, don't say that, don't tell nobody you're a rookie. But I'd only been on the boat for 3 days. The gentleman back in the back, I asked me if I needed some work. I said, yeah, I want to come work with him. And I'd only been on it for 3 days, and I was trying to keep up. We were just
it's tough work.
I was trying to go as fast as I could, and I was trying to knock off as many shells as I could. And I'm going to say, it wasn't probably their fault. It was probably mine, and I was doing the best I could do to try to keep up. That's all I could, just working on the boat, trying to help them, that's all. And, I only stayed on there for, like, maybe 6 weeks. I don't even do that anymore. I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow on a tugboat, so I'm trying to, All I do is go fishing out of pier at my house, and that's about it. Do anything else. You know, hope you. And I told the lady at the courts that, you know, it probably wasn't their fault. I mean, I don't think they should be punished because it was probably my bushel, and I was doing the best I could do it at the one time.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Sir, Erskine?
What were you using to cull the oysters?
Well, you cull them by hand, but on the deck you have like a little thingy notched into where the culling is, and you're supposed to check them as you throw them into the basket.
Okay.
And, I mean, I could have put some up there and thought they were straight and threw them in the basket.
Okay.
And sometimes when you put them up there, if you don't turn them and move them all around, then they'll slide through, but sometimes you put them and they hit, and you think they're right, and you just throw them in a basket. And I found a culling thing. We were digging, we were dredging, and came up with another culling thing. And I don't know, our thing and that thing was completely different. So after that, I started using that thing to check them, which they were. It was a 3-inch thing. It was a little bit more than 3 inches. So after that, I just started using that and made sure they were bigger than what they were supposed to be on that little thing that we had.
All right. So, thank you.
Any other questions to the commission? Chief Farrell. The matrix guidelines in this case call for?
Yes, sir. The matrix guidelines you can see there. Officer Reichel indicated that there were enough oysters, small oysters and shell, to fill 2 4-quart containers, so at least about 100%. But that's greater than 50%, so that's what this is here for the guideline in the matrix. And the commissions for Mr. Moore, the commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a 1-year probation. In accordance with Section 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Moore on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Moore's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Moore appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Erskine.
In light of Mr. Moore's testimony and his honesty, as well as a lack of a conviction history, I'd make a motion for a 9-month probationary period.
I second that.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine and a second by Mr. Minor for 9 months probation. Discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. 9 months of probation, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Good luck on the tug.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. If you go with the officer, he'll give you a letter explaining your appeal rights.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Buddy Forrest. First, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let the record reflect Buddy Forrest is here. Chief O'Reilly.
Yes, sir. Mr. Buddy G. Forrest has a new conviction, culling tolerance, in having more than 4 quarts of undersized oysters or shell, and the summons was from Chapter 4 of EAC 2260, Section 40. The date of offense was October 18, 2016. The date of conviction, December 5, 2016. Marine Police Officer Henry Reichel. If you look at 2017 license and permits, he does have a senior citizen commercial registration and 2 oyster licenses, one for hand scrape, and then, of course, the user fee that he's paid for 2017. In 2016, pretty much the same. He did have the single patentong gear license in 2016. No previous convictions.
Officer Richley.
Tuesday, October 18, 2016, I conducted an inspection on the fishing vessel White Pearl, engaged in activity of oyster harvesting activity on Rappahannock River Area 4. Mr. Forrest here was the captain of the vessel. He was in the pile house when I arrived on scene and throughout the inspection. Selected one one of their baskets from the catch, emptied it into my metal tub, did an inspection. After I completed the inspection, I had 2 4-quart containers of shell or small oysters, and Mr. Forrest was very polite, cooperative with me, elected not to go back through the oysters with me, told me he had seen enough. And he was found, pled guilty, but not fined in general district court in Middlesex County.
And not fined?
He was not fined. Because of his cooperation, the judge did not fine him.
Suspended. Understood. Thank you. Any questions of the officer? Mr. Forrest, please step forward to the microphone. What happened here? What do you want the commission to know?
Well, I guess everything that the officer said was pretty much true. I was in the wheelhouse, and I had two guys culling, and apparently they throw too much small stuff in with a few shells. That's about all I can say about it. I feel like that.
Mr. Forrest.
The guy ahead of us, the other guy who was calling also, he testified that he didn't know any that much about it, or he was throwing a lot of stuff in, apparently.
Yeah, he was a rookie.
And I didn't know about it, of course, because I couldn't see exactly what he was throwing in from inside the wheelhouse. I have a pilot house on the stern of my boat, so I can see everything going on in the front, but I couldn't, see that far. So I've been doing this since I was 12 years old.
I was going to ask you, Mr. Simpson, Mr. Forrest, how long have you been a waterman?
I've been a waterman since I was 12 years old. And
well, how long was that?
70 years. Well, it's been actually 60, I'm never 70 years old now, and I was 12 when I started.
Have you had violations in the past?
No. I've been trying to be good.
You have succeeded.
Well, I try.
Chief, what are the matrix guidelines call for at this point?
So, again, officer indicated that enough for 2 4-quarts, so greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish, which is a 1-year probation according to the matrix of guidelines for sanctions. And I can read the report here if you'd like.
Please do.
Okay, for Buddy G. Forrest. Mr. Forrest, the commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a 1-year probation. In accordance with Section 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest for the commission to place Mr. Forrest on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Forrest's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Forrest appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Miner.
Yeah, he's 70 years young and been on the water for 58 years. And you said, 58 to 60 years, since you've been 12 years old, right? I think, I really don't see a record, so I'm going to say we go with make a motion for a 3-month probation.
It's a motion by Mr. Miner here for a probationary term of 3 months. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
By Mr. Tankard.
Yes.
Let's have a discussion on the motion.
I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. Well, 58 years?
I think I've gotten to know you gentlemen fairly well over the last few years here. Well, who's going to do this? Because if you're not, I'm going to.
I can't.
Mr. Fritz.
Yes, I would recommend, if I could, let Mr. Forrest off the warning.
How about a motion?
Yes, I'll make that motion.
We still got discussions, don't we? Can I have discussions?
Before we get into the motion, let's discuss this a little bit more.
I don't think we should let him off the warning. I think we ought to let him off with a commendation. I'd say thank you for a job well done.
Mr. Forrest, this is a first. Somebody here for a violation, you're getting a recommendation for, like, an award?
I mean, this is...
No, the award does not carry any financial benefit.
A lifetime of work well done. I mean, and we're talking about a very minor thing that
wasn't his fault?
Yeah. I don't see any, you know, I guess we have guidelines why people are brought, but this is one that I don't think we ever need to hear. Although I enjoy it because I like meeting someone who's done a job well done.
Mr. Forrest, let me ask you a question here before I say something here. Have you sat through all of this the last couple hours?
Have I sat through it? Yes, sir.
Yes. You've heard all the discussion from the previous cases, correct?
Yes, sir.
You know what happens or what can happen here if you really screw up, right? You're not really going to screw up again, are you? Well, I think so far up until this, you did an admirable job on that. I would love to see this case go away here at Mr. Forrest's lesson learned, right?
I will draw my motion.
Well, we have to withdraw the second if that's the case as well.
I'll withdraw mine.
All the motions are withdrawn?
Yes.
All right. Let's start with another motion. Mr. Erskine?
Well, I just have a comment. I mean, I agree. Job well done. And I think, you know, not on this in particular violation that you had, but your previous history. But I also want to recognize the officers and the job that they do out there is not easy. Yes. And there are natural resources violations. There's a reason we have a culling law to have small oysters. So as much as I agree with fellow commissioners that you deserve a bit of a reward, although not monetary. you've done a very good job. But also the officers, you all do good work and hard work, and I appreciate you bringing it to our attention.
Mr. Zedner.
I move that we dismiss this matter.
Motion by Mr. Zedner and second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Mr. Forrest, you're good to go.
Commissioner, there's one other thing I'd like to bring to the
We have one more case. Mr. Clark Daniel?
Yes.
Daniel, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. The record reflect Mr. Clark Daniel was present. Chief O'Reilly.
Daniel has a new conviction, coloring tolerance and standards for more than 4 quarts of undersized oysters or shell. The summons was under Chapter 4 of EAC 2260, Section 40. Date of offense was October 18th, 2016. Date of conviction was December 5, 2016. Marine Police Officer Henry Reichel. And just to note, the licenses currently are not available because of the licensing department. In other words, from what I understand, there hasn't been a proper check offered.
Earlier.
Did you? Okay. So as of this morning, at least, there had been a check that hadn't cleared, so that's why we had that note there. Thank you very much. So that's been taken care of. So 2017, we assume that you'll have similar licenses up here, the commercial registration, oysters. Very good. Okay. And in 2016, you had the same licenses as well as had paid the oyster resource user fee. Previous convictions, none.
Officer Richley.
So Tuesday, October 18, 2016, conducted an inspection on the fishing vessel White Pearl, engaged in Area 4 Rappahannock River oyster harvest. Mr. Daniel here was the first mate of the vessel engaged in the culling of the oysters. Did an inspection on the vessel, selecting one of their baskets, placing it in my metal tub, and after culling it, I had 2 4-quart containers of small oysters and shells. All subjects were polite and cooperative with me, and Mr. Daniels was pled guilty and fined $75 in Middlesex General District Court.
Thank you. Questions to the commission? Stan.
Pretty much like advice says, same thing.
I was just had it, got a new guy, and I really wasn't paying enough attention to him. Kind of got in a hurry. That's what I can say.
How long have you been a waterman?
I started with my stepfather when I was 11 years old.
So that's like...
This is the first time I've ever been in any kind of situation. It is what it is. I mean, I just didn't take enough time to pay attention to a new guy.
So let me get it on the record. How long, how many years have you been a waterman?
Going on about, well, I'm 51 right now, so.
Okay, so 40 years?
Yeah.
All right. Any questions from the commission? Chief, what do the guidelines call for?
So the guidelines call, when there's a situation, possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish, that the commission consider a one-year probation. If you'd like me to read the report, I can.
I think we need to get it on the record.
Okay. For Mr. Clark R. Daniel, the commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of greater than 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with 282 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest for the commission to place Mr. Daniel on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, February 28, 2017, through February 27, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Daniel's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation will result in Mr. Daniel appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. What's the will of the commission? Mr. Cedron.
This guy here has been out here for 40 years and doesn't have a record, so to speak, and I think it was just an unfortunate situation. And the first guy that got the ticket, he said he thought it was his fault anyway. I know it's kind of we're deviating from what we normally do, but I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this case as well.
Before you do that, Mr. Daniel, let me ask you a question. Somebody screwed up here, right?
Yes, sir.
Who do you think it was?
It was pretty much, you know, I was the first, you know, I was the guy that he was in charge of, pretty much. So, I mean, I just got in a hurry. I mean, the next day he showed me a flat piece of shell with a spat on it. That he said, well, I've been throwing that kind of stuff in, and I was just like flabbergasted. I thought he knew more about the situation than it was. And
well, you were doing some culling as well, right?
Yeah, I was doing culling.
You knew he was a newbie, right?
Yeah, he was newbie, and like I said, but when you get into a bunch of boats, you know, there was drumming ground, and it was on the 16th. There was still a lot of boats there, and we were in a big boat, and like I said, I was trying to get the dredge up, trying to make a living.
I'll ask this question here because I think the answer is going to be telling here. Do you think you deserve a measure of responsibility for not keeping an eye out on the rookie?
Yes, sir. Like I said, it is what it is. It's my fault, you know. There's a lot of stuff you got to check. You know, I'm running the dredge. You know, the dredge is coming in fast, and I'm also calling. But you know, there is a, you know, I didn't know how, you know, it much. He did not know, so that's kind of a thing, you know. And the stuff gets going in, and you got boats beside you, and you got to be pulling fast, and you just don't really have a whole lot of time to go in and check his stuff, so.
All right. Well, I appreciate your honesty, Mr. Daniel, here. And
yes, sir.
That convinced me that I would back up Mr. Zedron's motion to dismiss this. I think you understand that you had some responsibility there.
Yes, sir.
Even though it was somebody else's fault, you can't allow this to happen again.
No,
I won't. Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Daniel, do you plan on being back in the public fishery in October when it opens up?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to second Mrs. Z's motion.
Mr. Cedron, did you actually make a motion to dismiss? All right. It's a motion to dismiss by Mr. Cedron and a second by Mr. Minor. Is there any further discussion on the actual motion? Call the court. Mr. Erskine.
Well, I do. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, and I agree that this was first-time offense. Mr. Daniel, I appreciate the honesty. The Cullen tolerance is there for a reason. Again, I just don't want to this board to be dismissive of the culling process, and it's an important natural resource violation, and I don't want to just dismiss it. I understand the circumstances surrounding this case, and I understand and agree with it, and will vote in favor of dismissal, but I just want to understand that it is a serious violation. Thank you.
We need baby oysters to make more adult oysters. Simple as that. There's a motion. There's a second. Is there any further discussion? Then there's a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. Daniel, it's your lucky day. Charges are dismissed. We do not want to see you back here, sir. Please make sure you don't come back here. Thank you. Chief, wrap up.
Yes, thank you. So I'll point this out first, this slide here in this language. So when I go to sleep tonight, I guarantee you that this will be echoing through my brain. And that's fine. Today was a new adventure because today you learned that staff is no longer making recommendations. The commission has the guidelines. If they don't have the guidelines perfectly, they certainly have Section 28.2.232, in some cases, Section 28.2.527. There's also all the regulations that are cited that you heard today in some cases where you didn't have the matrix to look at. However, although staff's not making recommendations on this, we would like to ask the commission for a change to these guidelines. And I brought this up because if you notice, there were cases today which had exactly 50%, exactly 100%, and in 2013, when this table was prepared from the Law Enforcement Subcommittee, you notice that both are greater than 100 and greater over 50, but you also notice that the sanction is exactly the same, 1 year probation. Staff would recommend, based on some of the information today, one of them is really pertinent. One of the officers indicated that he was culling, and the harvester said, that's good enough. You've got four quarts, stop there. Obviously, the officers don't need to be in a contest for how much they find in violation. As soon as they find enough for quarts, whatever it might be over, that's it. So staff does want to ask the commission, would it be possible to just have one here instead of the two, and that one would read 50% or greater, because a lot of the culling is going to be exactly 50%. The officer is going to find four quarts. And that's it. He'll stop. The harvester may say, that's enough. You've got it. And so that's our suggestion to you to change these guidelines to just 50% or greater. It will still be a one-year probation. It's only for these culling standards.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Erskine. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kellum. Any discussion? Call a question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well.
Thank you very
much. A bit of housekeeping is taken care of.
Yeah.